Maybe. Yes, sir!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the You're Still Out Golf Podcast. I'm your host, JT. Got a fun episode for you. A little bit of a popcorn session, a chop session. Going to go kind of back and forth with our guy, Cam Jordan of Golf Week. Cam's been on several times. Always fun to talk golf with him. There are a plethora of topics. Who knows where it will take us. Before we get there, want to shout out our home away from home, Lincoln Park Golf Club, the official podcast studio of the You're Still Out Golf Podcast. Football season is here, and for many of us, that means eyes glued to the TV. But let me tell you, whenever OU and OSU kick off early, that is the time to get to Lincoln Park or any of our city golf courses for the twilight fee starting at kickoff. So for those of us who maybe we're down on our teams, although I would say both state schools we are super high on right now. But maybe you're not an OU or OSU fan. Maybe you're not a college football fan. Now's the time to go play golf on a Saturday. Save yourself some money and get that twilight rate at kickoff time. So those 11 a.m. kickoffs are good for the non-college football fans. Again, Lincoln Park Golf Club, home away from home for the year still out squad. Cam, first of all, it's great to see you. I know you've been busy with a variety of things. Let me be the first to say on a podcast, congratulations on being newly married, sir.
Yeah, you are the first to say that on the podcast. thank you very much. It's been a crazy last month. Quick recap. Closed on a house 4 days before the wedding.
Okay.
Moved into that same house same day and unpacked the next couple days. Finally started focusing on the wedding like day and a half before the wedding. But thankfully, my wife, Haley, she's a blessing. She did so many great things because I was out traveling this summer for golf, and I tried to help as much as I could when I was gone. But she was awesome in planning, and so everything went extremely smoothly once we actually got to wedding time. We weren't scrambling last minute doing all that stuff. And it's all because of her. So shout out to her. Then also there was the honeymoon and still some work trips, but it's been a crazy last month, but it's awesome.
Well, truly congratulations. It's a big time in a young man's life, or sometimes an old man's life, depending on when somebody decides to get hitched. And it's generally for folks who do it well, the best decision that you make. So again, congratulations. And is Haley, is she a golfer? Does she play golf at all?
She is not a golfer. She will go golf with me though. On our honeymoon, she picked where we went. We went to St. Lucia, okay, which is a British island down in the West Indies.
Okay.
And she picked it because the resort we stayed at came with free golf. And she was like, I want you to be able to play golf. And I was like, well, I'm not going to play golf every day on our honeymoon, but I was like, I'll go play once. And so one morning we got up, went and played an 18 hole round in about 2.5 hours. It was beautiful.
Love that. Love that. Well, we're truly going to it might be hard for you and I to keep up with what topics we're going over. I know I put us together a little bit of like a topics list, but because you said events and the different things you've been going to, I kind of want to start there. Just tell our listeners all the different golf events you've been to. And for those who don't remember Cam coming on the pod or don't follow him on Twitter, which is a shame because that's where I get literally 95% of my golf information. I've been able to unfollow like 8 accounts and just follow yours because I get everything I need right from it's at @Cam_Jordan, JOURDAN. But I've been following every place that you've been. But give our listeners just a random assortment of all the events that you've got to attend this year.
So we'll just kind of go back to the last 4 months. I was at NCAAs for 2 weeks, NCAA Men's and Women's Golf Championships at the end of May. And then I was actually home for a period of time. And then at the end of July is when the busy season started. I went up to Minnesota for the PGA Tour's 3M Open, came home for a week, flew out to Los Angeles for the United States Women's Amateur at Bel Air Country Club, flew home for roughly 16 hours, and 8 of those I was sleeping. And then got back on a plane and went to Denver for the men's amateur. Got to play the men's amateur course on Monday, Cherry Hills. It was as tough as it looked on TV. I don't know how Nick Dunlap and Neil Shipley made it look as easy as they did, but maybe that's why they're the two of the best amateurs in the world, and I'm just at an handicap out here. And then after about a week and or 2 weeks at home, I went back to Minnesota for a college event, the Annika Intercollegiate, one of Annika Sorenstam's numerous events that she puts on around the world. It's arguably the best women's tournament in the country, and it's the first week of the season. And I've got to go up there 2 years in a row now. We're really good partners with the Annika Foundation at Golf Week. And so getting to hang out with Annika kind of behind the scenes and her husband, Mike McGee, great family, great people. Cannot say enough high stuff about them. And then came home, got married and everything. Went to St. Lucia for the honeymoon. A little blast.
Yeah. Got married and everything. Okay. Moving on. No big deal.
Yeah. Had that involved. And then last week was down in Dallas for the Jackson T. Stevens Cup, which is, it's a newer tournament. And for listeners who are interested, the Jackson T. Stevens Cup is going to be in Oklahoma City next year. It's going to be at Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club.
Really?
So it's the next year will be the fourth edition of the tournament. They play 36 holes of stroke play on Monday, the final 18 holes of stroke play on Tuesday, and then the top two teams from stroke play in a championship match play on Wednesday. And that tournament will be at Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club next year, which kicks off a pretty good 2 year stretch at OKC Golf and Country Club, because the U.S. Women's Amateur Four Ball is coming in 2025. So it's golf in Oklahoma, and the U.S. Women's Amateur is at Southern Hills next year.
Right.
Oklahoma in the 2020s has been a golf haven. Really, there's been a bunch of great tournaments, and then you have the Senior U.S. Open coming in 2027 to Oaktree. I mean, is this a great state or what?
It's a good pull there, deep cut. Yeah, you're right. And it's been that way since, what, like the 21 Senior PGA at Southern Hills. And I feel like since then, it's like a nonstop barrage of opportunities to get out and watch high-level golf here in the state. And you didn't even mention Compliance Solutions. I saw that the date for it has been officially set for next June. I think it's like the 20th through the 23rd of June next year, second year of that tournament. So yeah, you've been after it, bud. What if you had to say, of all those events that you've been to, and I know best is subjective, right? Best, favorite, if you had to pick one, which one? Maybe, okay, how about of the ones you went to, what are you most looking forward to get back to next year?
So being that I'm still really kind of new on the college and amateur beat for Golf Week, last summer I didn't travel to either of the amateurs. So I didn't get to go to, the men's or women's amateur, but Bel Air Country Club in Los Angeles. I mean, if you know Bel Air, you have a good idea. I mean, it's the houses around, I mean, there's like nine figure houses surrounding this golf course. I mean, it is a very, very nice area of LA. But Bel Air Country Club is one of the nicest golf courses I think I'll ever go to in my entire life. It was, I mean, just, I'm not even an LA guy. Like I hate the big city. My hotel was roughly 11 miles away, and it took me 45 minutes to get to the course every single day. And for us being from Oklahoma, 11 miles takes 10 minutes. You hop on the Hefner Parkway or hop on I-40 and you can get it wherever you want quickly. In LA, that is not the case. You hop on the 405, which made me laugh just because that's our area code here. But
I know, right?
It takes you 5 minutes to go a mile. It's the worst thing in the world. But Bel Air Country Club, from the rolling hills, the topography, and how the uniqueness of all the holes. The 10th hole is a 200-yard par 3. Even for the women, it's uphill, and you hit it over like a canyon. I mean, it is just the golf course is just absolutely spectacular. That was probably my favorite event. Just because the golf course made it, the women were able to get after it. If you, just like any golf course, keep the ball in the fairway, you had a good chance, but the topography of this course, the rolling hills, no two holes were the same. You would have one hole that was a dogleg left, and then you'd have one hole that was a dogleg right. You'd have uphill, downhill. Great variety in the par threes, the par fours, the par fives. I mean, when you got to the backside, at Bel Air, they built the backside in between a canyon. So they would put the tee boxes and the greens kind of near the side of the hill, and then the fairways were down in the canyon. And in the middle of the fairways, bisecting the holes going in and out, was a creek. And if you weren't paying attention just because of how high the hills were around, you would have thought you were in Colorado or up in Branson.
Right.
Because it just, you forget you're in like one of the biggest cities, one of the craziest cities in the world. And you're just kind of in this quiet little nook tucked in there in one of the most pristine golf courses you've ever seen. It was just an absolutely incredible moment.
That is pretty wild. You think about Bel Air, as you're describing, I feel like Riviera and LACC and Wilshire Country Club all are in that similar mold of, you know, most expensive real estate in the whole country, just one of, you know, the second largest city in the whole country. And there are these little, as you put it, nooks, oases of really kind of like wild, you know, wild terrain. It's very interesting. And I feel like you being there on site got to experience that kind of immersively. I feel like the U.S. Open and the U.S. Women's Am had better, like you could sense that better on TV, because Riv is like that, and I feel like you don't really get that sense at Riv. I don't know if that's because they don't, just the way it's covered. Whereas with the USGA events, they tend to do some special camera angles or different equipment. And so that was my, I've watched Riv for, you know, 15 years, and I didn't get that feeling like I got watching these two events.
It's interesting. Actually, on Friday morning of the Women's Am, I drove down to Malibu just to go check it out, because I'd been to California once before in my life, but I was little. I don't remember much of the trip at all. But I drove over to Malibu and then drove down to Santa Monica. Don't go to Santa Monica unless you just absolutely want to see it. It's
not worth
it. It's not that impressive. It's pretty dirty. And then I drove over to Riv, and I was driving down the main entrance. I was just going to see if I could get in and go look around the clubhouse. Well, a big guy in a suit walks out of the guard shack as I'm pulling up. And so I make a quick detour on the road to the right, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not dealing with that. But I looked on the map, I was looking on the GPS, and I drove down a neighborhood street. And at the end of it was gates with some vines grown up on it. And I'm sitting there and I'm peeking through the fence and took a picture. I'm 50 yards away from the first green. Wow. I couldn't really see down where the big hill was that you tee off of, but I could see out onto the golf course. And it's like, oh yeah, that's the Riv. Like, this is literally Riviera. You would have no idea that golf course is there if you were just driving by and didn't have a GPS or anything. Same thing with LACC. I drove over by there, and their security was extremely tight. There was no way I was even going to sniff getting on property there. And they've got super high fences, so you can't see in, which makes sense because there's really busy streets going all around the golf course. Okay. But same. Outside of the really tall fences, you have no idea there's a golf course there. There were people who probably live in LA who drove that road every single day and did not think twice about there being one of the biggest golf event in the United States that week that it happened, because it just kind of sits back and it's hidden. It's crazy. LA's a crazy town, but just like you said, those golf courses are somewhat hidden gems, and those three, and even Wilshire, some of the best real estate, golf courses, whatever you want to say, in the world.
Yeah.
All tucked within literally like a 5-mile radius of each other.
Yeah, I think that getting those courses showcased is important to the game of golf, maybe not in the grand scheme of things, because I feel like most golfers, like, don't, if they know they exist, it's very much from a list somewhere. And LA golf definitely got the light shined on it in 2023. Okay. I've been struggling with this, and for our hardcore listeners, this will make sense. I've been struggling kind of getting excited, because from the Ryder Cup all the way to the Masters, right? It's a little bit bleak in terms of things to get excited about out in the golf world. Great time to play golf, which I'm trying to take advantage of, but this downtime, if you will, give me something, Cam. We got to get excited about something over the next few months for golf. It's for me, it's hard to get real excited about it.
Well, I will say this, I think the month of December is going to be pretty fun. I think that the new, so obviously still a little bit down the road, just with the way the PGA Tour schedule is set up now, the tournament this week in Japan, too bad it's live at 10 o'clock at night here is when it comes on TV.
It's tough.
When we all want to go to bed, it's not like we're watching Pac-12 after dark or anything. But the tournament this week is fairly good leaderboard. Bo Hostler is leading after two rounds, which he's a name that if you follow Big 12 golf, you know him from his days at Texas.
Right.
But I'm excited for December. You know, the Hero World Challenge field came out a couple days ago, and I saw a name on there that we haven't seen in some time. Will Zalatoris. His first start back is going to be there. So I'm excited to see him. He's completely revamped his swing because of his back. Now, being that it's Tiger's event, they filled 19 of the 20 positions. There's no John Rahm. There's no Rory McIlroy. There's no Tiger. But there's still one spot left to be announced. Scotty's plan, Victor's plan. And, of course, Victor's won that tournament 2 years in a row. He's the best golfer in the world right now. I know he's not number one in the rankings, but he's the best golfer in the world right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm excited for the Hero World Challenge because of Will Zalatoris, the possibility of Tiger maybe trying to play. Who knows where he's at, but anytime Tiger plays, everybody's going to be watching. But then the next week is the new LPGA plus PGA Tour mixed event in Naples, Florida, the Grant Thornton Invitational.
Okay.
And teams have slowly been coming out for that. And I'm stoked to see what this is like. I got to go to this event last year, and Lexi and Nelly both played in it alongside the men. And I think it was Tom Hoagie and Sahith Theegala who ended up winning. I know Sahith won, and I'm blanking on who his partner was.
It was Hoagie.
Yeah. And I really think that this new event, I think it's going to do awesome. I'm pumped to see it because the women's game obviously does not get quite as much coverage as the men's, but there's some really good women's players. And I think that doing this is the right thing. I think it's going to lead to possibilities of there being more mixed events down the road. People have long talked about one of the big rumors. They should switch the President's Cup and make it a United States versus Europe mixed event, which I think a lot of people would be down for that. But I'm really excited for the Grant Thornton Invitational. I think that that's going to be a great breath of fresh air for golf fans. The women's game is going to get much needed eyes on it. If you have something to look forward to those first 2 weeks in December, right after Thanksgiving and before Christmas, I think the golf calendar is setting up to be really fun.
Okay. I'll tune in, right? Cause you're right. Like during that time, like once you get a little star for golf, all of a sudden, things get really interesting. I want to go back to the Hero World Challenge though. Like, are we doing this again with the Tiger? Is he going to play? Is he going to come back and be a if not a force, a regular presence in the world of golf? I'm tired, Cam. I don't know if I can do it again. I just don't know.
I mean, I think if you can taper your expectations a bit, Tiger is going, I think in his mind, if I had to guess, I don't know. I've only ever interviewed Tiger one time, and it was at a scrum at Southern Hills last year for the PGA. I think in a perfect world, considering the way his body is now and the way it's going to be forever, he would love to play the four majors, his event at Riviera, and then throw in a couple more in there, maybe Jack's event at Memorial. I don't think he'll ever play in the FedEx Cup playoffs again. Unless he just happens to qualify for East Lake, he'd play East Lake, but he probably won't play the two events before that.
Your expectations, I think you need to keep your expectations in check because that seems like a fairy tale to play even all those events. If he played the Masters every year and was like somehow involved in the team events as a captain, meaning the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. And then, yeah, maybe Riv because that's his tournament. And then clearly the father child. I mean, that's what everybody tunes in to see.
Yeah.
We need to see little Chuck is really what everybody needs to. That's what we need to shift our focus to, is Charlie Woods and not so much Tiger Woods. I mean, that's how low my expectations are, is just turn up to the Masters every year, and I would be happy. to be honest. And I know maybe I'm throwing a wet blanket on our fun chop session here, but that's the bar is low for me, buddy.
I mean, knock on wood, hopefully we do get to see Charlie and Tiger playing the third week of December. I can't forget about that. The PNC is a great tournament. Heck, they've been in contention the last 2 years, and Charlie, especially the last 2 months. Heck, we've written 3 or 4 stories about him. He's been winning tournaments. Like, he's a good golfer. Everybody knows that. They've seen him play, and he's hit good shots on TV. But he's finally getting to where, like, he's at that age now, and of course, I can't remember exactly. What is he, 14 or 15 now?
I think 14.
He's finally getting to that age where, like, his body is starting to catch up, so he's able to, like, control shots better. He's already hit the ball a mile, but now he's starting to control shots, and so, like, I definitely think college golf is in his future. You can never compare him to his dad. I mean, it's not fair to him. I'm sure he's already used to it with everything that's happened, but I think he has a chance to be a Division I college golfer. I mean, he really does. He's a really good junior golfer.
We got it. We absolutely have to get him to either OU or OSU. Like, got to happen. Like, where do I sign up for some sort of NIL, contribution? Whatever it takes. I think we got it. We got to get him to Oklahoma.
There's a reason they're renovating the practice facilities at Carson right now. Holder's doing some legwork. He's selling out for Charlie Woods. The Victor Hovland practice area is now going to be a home of Charlie Woods, and Tiger will show up from time to time to get some practice in.
He's probably putting a little airstrip out there, you know, so the cat can just, you know, land the G5 right next to Karsten. I would love for that to be the underlying reason for the blow up of Karsten Creek. Where do you want to go next, buddy? I'm gonna let you pick the next topic. We anything you want to talk about?
You know, this is really jumping around. The Karsten Creek redo. I have not been out there to see any of it. I don't even know the timeline of it.
Okay.
But from everything I've heard, like, I mean, I don't know. This Karsten's obviously a great course as it is, but from everything I've heard, like, it's going to be even better.
Yeah. So my inside sources at Karsten and other places in the industry are telling me that we are going to have 6 brand new golf holes at Karsten Creek that do not currently exist, which would clearly mean that 6 holes either go away or are, in case of the 10th hole, being turned into a practice area. So just to give you one example, the 10th hole is going away and will be part of the practice area. I've heard that we are going Bermuda grass throughout tees and fairways. Greens will remain bent grass. According to Coach Holder, funny that we call him Coach Holder, you know, former OSU head coach and athletic director Mike Holder has said that it's, the guys are having too good of lies when in the fairway. So, like, when they travel around, they're not playing Zoysia grass anywhere else around the country, and so they're kind of getting a little soft, you know, whenever they have a questionable lie on Bermuda grass fairways when they're traveling and playing tournaments. So that's a few things that are not rumors, like, for sure are happening. And then Andrew Green is the guy who is doing the renovation. He is not as well known of a name as the kind of the Tom Doakes, Gil Hanses, Cor Crenshaws of the world, but has done a lot of really, really good work. Inverness Country Club, where they had the Solheim 2 years ago. So yeah, that's the different inside scoops that I remember off the top of my head about Karsten. The Navy SEAL training ground for college golf is what's been uttered.
See, and I hadn't even heard that they were redoing holes. And that's because Karsten's layout as it was pretty good. But I think that's a kudos to Holder and even to Bratton and Robertson, is that they're willing to do something, like take something that's really good and make it great. And obviously upgrading the practice facilities. They already had some of the best practice facilities in the country,
right,
for college golf. And now they're probably going to still be up there. The fact that they're redoing holes, now my mind is chasing. You already said 10, change that to a little bit of a practice area. So it's like, okay, well, where's 10 going to be? What other holes are getting changed? Is like, you think 11 is the iconic par three. It's like, surely that's not being changed, but maybe it will be. 12 is a scoreable par four. Who knows what's going to happen with that?
Yeah. The things I'm putting on the air are really just the things that I know for sure, but remember correctly for sure.
Yeah.
I've heard some other, like, there's a lot of different rumblings in my mind of the different things that I've been told by either kind of some member insiders or some kind of golf course construction superintendent, you know, insiders. But we'll make it a point here over the winter time, perhaps, or early in the spring to get a sit down with either Coach Robertson, Coach Bratton, or, you know, maybe we even nose out, you know, Coach Holder. He's notoriously not that chatty, but, you know, maybe for a good cause. But that's the story on Karsten. I mean, yeah, it's already hard. Like, making it even harder is gonna be wild. And part of that, dude, I think it's really Coach Holder's kind of style. Like, he needs something to keep him occupied, and in and blowing up the golf course will at least give him one last project, you know, before he rides off into the sunset.
It's only been 5 years since they won. Well, six now, technically, by the time he gets to next year. So it's a clock's ticking. He's expecting more. So
yeah, OSU golf by their standards has certainly been underwhelming the past couple of years, which is crazy because I'll transition us to the Oak Tree member scratch. I didn't even have this on my list of topics until I saw your tweet yesterday. Oak Tree member scratch has a lot of OSU golfers in it, former OSU golfers that are now playing on the PGA Tour. Give folks an understanding of the Oak Tree member scratch. It's happening again. We're recording this on the 20th of October. We're probably going to post it. You're probably listening to this on Monday or Tuesday morning, but what would be this week, 26th, 27th, this event is happening. So describe it for people and then go down the list of entries for what equates to a hit and giggle at Oak Tree.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I'm not being dramatic or overdoing it when I say this. This may be the best field in golf next week. And it's like, it's a pro scratch invitational. I mean, it's wild. So off the top, here's the number one name on the list when you pull it up. Victor Hovland. Okay, reigning FedEx Cup champion, Ryder Cup champion, best golfer in the world. Not bad. Let's keep going down. Let's read some of these names that are playing next week. And this is just on the pro side. There's some really good amateurs on this list too. Let's see. Charles Howell III, Robert Streb, Josh Creel, Austin Eckroat, Peter Uihlein, Taylor Moore, Matt Wolf, Max McGreevy, Chris Goddard. I can keep going. I mean, there's, if you go down this list, there's, we just named players from the PGA Tour, a couple of the LIV guys. There's a ton of players from the Korn Ferry Tour who are playing this week. I mean, this field is loaded. I mean, it is, I didn't even get down to lower on the list. You have the Logan McAllisters, Tyson Reeders, Quade Cummins, Jonathan Brightwells, Zach Boshue. I mean, this is a legit field. It is. It's going to be closed to the public.
Yeah. So I was going to go ahead and I wanted to be the one to throw the cold water since I missed your cold water this morning. Like, what the heck? Like, not having any access to something like this, which maybe is one of the reasons that they got so many guys to sign up, whereas like it's this private deal. But man, you have that many, like, legit PGA Tour players, you know, LIV Golf, you know, another, you know, highly acclaimed professional golf tour. And then, yeah, the Korn Ferry Tour guys on top of that. It's a shame. I mean, I'm going to scold for all of our Oak Tree National members that are listening. You should be ashamed of yourself for not opening this up to the public or at least, you know, regional podcast stars.
And not to give too much information. I'm going to see if I can possibly sneak out there one day. And here's how. My godparents live off the 18th fairway at Oak Tree National.
They're going to be coming out of the woodwork, folks.
So may just sneak over out of the backyard one day and just see what we can do. But I'm also, I don't want to get in trouble. I also know a couple of people who are playing a couple of the AMs, not any of the pros as well. I know some of them, and I've talked to some of them a few times. But I know a couple of the AMs really, really well, like spend time with a couple of them often, good family friends. I'd love to see if I could just, hey, can I ride in with you one day and just hang around? But like you said, I think that may be one of the draws that, hey, you guys want to come play in this. And of course, like Holland's a member at National. He's been a member there for a long time. On a random Tuesday in the summer, in the middle of the season, you can find Hovland out there playing with five or six guys.
Right.
I mean, Hovland's played that course 15, 20 times in the last year since it reopened. So.
And you gotta love it about these guys. You know, Hovland's the top of that list of like, absolutely doesn't need to be playing in this. I see that the winner of the event I understand the winner of the event gets $12,000, right? So that's gotta be why they're teeing it up, is for that lucrative paycheck. But in all seriousness, you gotta love Hovland, right? Because he does stuff like this seemingly on the regular, just like a regular dude. Oh yeah, I'll play and again, I know it's member scratch, but it's the equivalent of a member guest for all the really good players at Oaktree.
He just won $18 million a month and a half ago. He just won the Ryder Cup. He has not played competitive golf. He has not played a competitive golf round until next week. Like, his first time since the Ryder Cup is going to be at Oaktree National.
Truly wild. It's wild.
That's pretty cool.
All right, Cam, where are you taking us next? You're up next for picking a topic, whether it's on the list or not.
All right, here we go. We've discussed this a little bit. We've talked about this before, and I think you're going to know my answer when I ask this question, but I'm going to ask you first. You're going to leave it off.
Okay.
The course in Oklahoma that you want to play the most, and I would guess that means that we have not played yet.
Well, that would be an interesting twist, right? If the course that you want to play the most is one that you've already played, that would be high acclaim. But
yes, no kidding.
The course that I in Oklahoma that I would want to play the most. Now I know what all the guys and gals that I've interviewed, they always will say, like, can I have two? And I always, you know, okay, sure, you can have two answers. So I'm gonna be the guest on the podcast and give two answers. One of them is the Patriot Golf Club in Owosso, north of Tulsa. Frankly, I have, based on what I like about golf courses, I've heard that I probably won't enjoy it that much as a golf course, just to be honest, because people who I play golf a lot with who have played it say that's really not your style. However, it's on my it's the only, you know, highly acclaimed golf course in Oklahoma that I have yet to be able to play in some format. So just from like a checking it off the list, I would say the Patriot would be my answer. The other answer that I'll give is a more nuanced answer, and it would be playing Southern Hills. I have played Southern Hills three times now in charity events. The first tee, shout out to the first tee of Metro Tulsa. Fantastic event. Shout out to my founder, our guy Keith Needham, for putting us in that event for 3 years running. I have yet to play it walking. And, you know, playing my own ball, or, you know, just playing a round of golf. So I would still put it at the top of the list of playing it in a certain way, like a certain, I don't feel like I've got the true experience of playing Southern Hills. So I would still put it as the course that I would want to play most, even though I have been on the grounds playing a handful of times. Good question. Good question. What about you? I know that, you know, generally when somebody asks a question, it's because they have an answer they really want to give. That's how I come up with questions, is what do I want to answer? So so fire it out, Cam. What's your place? What do you got to play?
I mean, the one that I haven't yet, that somehow haven't. I think in the next year though, I'm gonna pull some strings with some folks. Or I say pull some strings. I think I'll have opportunities to play. It's Southern Hills. I have walked that course dozens of times. I've been there for the senior PGA, the PGA. I've been there for high school events when there's 100 people on property.
Right.
And so I've seen it at its peak. I've seen it at quiet moments. I'd love to get to play that course. I just think it is, it's the best golf course in Oklahoma. Who doesn't want to play that course?
Now, have you played Boiling Springs yet?
I went last summer.
Okay.
I played Boiling Springs for the first time. Shot 79 there, too. I was playing pretty good that day.
That's really nice at Boiling Springs.
We didn't go this summer, and part of the reason, my dad and I and a family friend, we said we got to come back here once a year. We were so blown away by it. We didn't go this summer because we were all a little bit busy, but Boiling Springs is, I would say, the hidden gem of Oklahoma golf, especially since the renovation. I mean, from Oklahoma City, it's 2.5 hours. I think from Tulsa, it's about 3.5. You can take, I think it's Highway 512 out, or...
412, straight across.
Three and whatnot. Yeah. Or 412, yeah. And oh, man. I'm so glad you brought up Boiling Springs, because that golf course is incredible.
I legitimately thought about answering Boiling Springs to this question, even though I've played it dozens of times now over the last... I think I discovered it. I shouldn't say discovered. I knew it was out there. I hadn't played it until October 2020. So yeah, 3 years ago. I almost still answered the course I want to play most is Boiling Springs, because I just can't get enough of the place. But I will say my two answers are based on my 2023 goals. Those were the two. I had some other courses in the goals, but those are the two that I have not been checked off yet. Good question. Always fun to talk about Oklahoma golf courses. So how about just real, like, super fast, what's your favorite golf course in Oklahoma that you have already played?
Either national. I really like Boiling Springs. And this one is not a country club. It's not anything private. My favorite course when I was in college was Lakeside up in Stillwater.
Oh, the original
Oklahoma State course.
Yeah.
The front nine is a very easy front nine. I love that course. When I was a student, you could go walk it for $10.
It's really good.
And it was, I love that course. I usually go up there once or twice a year to keep playing it. It's awesome. Love that place.
Yeah, that's a great call. And, I've played it quite a few times. My parents lived in Stillwater for a stretch and would, pretty close to Lakeside, actually. Yeah, it's forgotten about, I think, because, you know, everybody thinks Stillwater, thinks Carson Creek now, but Lakeside is cool. Honestly, right across, have you ever played that little course that's right across the street from Lakeside? It's called, it's one of those, like, Lindsay apartment
company. It's the Lynx course.
Yeah. Have you played it?
I lived there for a year.
Oh, dude. So.
And I have played it, yes.
Like, sneaky, maybe one of the hardest golf courses that I've ever played. Like, it is so, like, tight, and there's certainly the first time you play it, you don't know that you need to lay up to not run into this creek. You know, some kind of crazy, like, hero carries on that course. You honestly, if you take Lakeside and the links, and then somehow get yourself a guest invitation to play Stillwater Country Club in Karsten as, like, a 4-day golf trip, that would be an amazing 4-day setup. Stillwater, you know, is blessed with really good golf that nobody really talks about besides Karsten.
And then real quick, if you go right down the road to Perkins and play Cimarron Trails, I love that course too. It's a great one as well.
The Payne County, we've got to come up with a name for, like, the Payne County Agenda, the Payne County Progress. There's something there for a 4 or 5 day golf extravaganza.
And Buffalo Rock and Cushing. That's another one. If you've never been there, very interesting. But
very interesting. I was gonna say polarizing. So we'll downgrade it to interesting. Yes, it's a very interesting one. We're wrapping up 2023 here in the last quarter. Are you a goal setter guy? Whether they're golf or not, I don't know.
I had a couple golf goals this year. First off, and this kind of is knocking two birds with one stone. My lowest round of the year was the week before I started going to the women's AMs, the week before I got super busy at work. I shot a 75 at the newly renovated Kicking Bird, and that was with a double on 17. So don't know how I doubled that and made par on 18, but I did.
I hope Keith is listening to this, because, you know, Keith played Kicking Bird for the first time since it reopened, and it was a total complaint fest about, oh, the greens are too tricked up, and classic case of, you know, just play better, Keith. You see Cam went out 75 best round of the year.
On 6 and 16, because Kicking Bird's my home course. On 6 and 16, they did a lot with those greens, but they didn't John Conrad the place. It's not. It's not quite that. love Conrad. Don't get me wrong, but the greens are not quite that bad. But a little 75. My goal was to get my handicap. I started the year at about a 12. I played really poorly at the end of last year, and still have only ever taken one lesson, just kind of self-taught and worked through stuff on my own, kind of just being stubborn since I've gotten this far. It's like, wanted to get back down to around an 8, and I think I'm at it, and I got down to 7.9 right around then. Having not played a lot of golf the last couple of months, just, again, like we said at the beginning of the show, been a little busy. I have some decent excuses for that, but hoping here these next couple of months, take advantage of the cooler temperatures and go out and play some golf. But wanted to get my handicap down 8 or below again, so I did that. I wanted to focus on being better around the greens. I felt like I was losing too many strokes around the greens with not focusing or not hitting the right type of chip shot, whether I needed to go like a bump and run or high or and I've gotten better at that. I've got more consistent with my wedge play, especially around the greens. And then I wanted to be more consistent off the tee. At the beginning of this year, could not hit my driver. This summer, I picked a spot in the fairway that I wanted to hit my driver, and I was hitting it 285, 290. Then in the last couple of months, just not playing as much, I'm dealing with a big old duck hook. And when I'm hitting it, I'm smashing it, but I just cannot get the club. I can't get it squared impact. And so it's just that coming over the top a little bit and not moving my hips before my shoulders. That was way too long of an explanation of my goals, but there we go.
Well, that's getting your handicap kind of back down when it starts to balloon, I think is what drives a lot of us, right? Because once we get down to a certain handicap, we feel like we should kind of live there permanently. And when it starts bumping back up, then it's like this maniacal chase to get it back down.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can resonate with you. I had a whole list of goals, and the one that's results based is I wanted my scoring average to be 82. To start with an 82, like 82.9 or better, basically. I have not actually gone in to see where that's at. I have a pretty good idea that not only is it not going to be in the 82s, I think I may have gone the wrong direction since last year. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. I think we all remember, the bad rounds a lot of times more than we knew the good ones. But I know that there's been too many high 80s, low 90s rounds that those might be pulling that average up a bit. So we'll see. That was my main. Again, I had several, including golf courses to play and practice goals and stuff like that. But the one that I really need to start playing well and shooting some low scores to check off the box is the scoring average.
I will one quick one too, and it just popped in my head. So I'm really not trying to rub in when I say this. I do have one hole in one.
Okay.
But so that is technically an eagle. I never had an eagle on a par 4 or a par 5.
Right.
Somehow I'd never done that. And so I said, okay, this year I want to do that. Well, I got two. First one, Lincoln West, number 16.
Oh, wow. They're talking about polarizing golf holes.
Smoked a drive up the middle, and it kind of bounced over to the right. Had a 5-iron uphill and put it about 15 feet, well, more like 12 feet. And it was a very gentle left-to-right breaker. It was about a cup and a half and right in the center. And that was back in February. And then last month, that was through the week of my wedding, I was playing with some of my wife's family and my dad, number 17 at Winter Creek. Long par 5, uphill, dogleg left.
I'm trying to visualize it in my head. I've played Winter Creek several times. Yep, okay, got it.
Hit my drive up the right. It was actually a little bit in the rough, and I had a little more than 200. I think I had like 215 out. So I took out my 4 hybrid since I was in the rough. Hit a great shot that cut and landed right in front of the hole, rolled right past it, was roughly 2 feet from the pin. It was a little downhill putt. It was a little tester, but I knocked it in for my second one. And that was I had a really rough day at Winter Creek because I was not driving the ball well. And as you know, at Winter Creek, if you don't drive it well, you're not going to score.
Yeah.
So that was a, I went Eagle par to finish. And so that kind of salvaged the day a little bit.
Well, you've had a huge year. You're rolling in Eagles, you're shooting 75s, you're getting married, buying houses, going to events. It's been a fun year. It's been fun to follow all of that, both out on social media, but also just kind of chatting you up as a friend. What is on the calendar for you here over the next either 3 months or to start the new year? Kind of what's something you're going to be getting out to or you're honed in on?
The main thing I have is in December, I'm going to Las Vegas for the coaches convention. I'll flying out there on a Tuesday morning, coming back on a Wednesday night. Very quick trip, but just with everything that's going on in college golf this year, going to be a good deal to go out there and talk with one place. You can get all the coaches in the same spot outside of NCAAs.
So that's interesting. They do their coaches convention like in between the fall and the spring seasons?
Yes, they do it out in Las Vegas. Both the women's and the men's associations are out there. I actually booked my travel yesterday. It's going to be a really quick, fun trip. And then I don't have anything in the spring. I actually think the first thing next on my calendar is the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Have not booked anything for that. Have not even really talked with folks about that yet, but that is on the calendar. That is didn't get to go last year, but I think I've earned my invitation to go this year, and I really hoping I get to make it.
Okay, well then 100%, like I'm literally going to write it down as soon as we finish. We got to get you back on the pod, and that's a long time from now, so maybe we'll do one in between, but we for sure either leading in or immediately after got to bring you back on to talk ANWA.
Most definitely. Let's do it.
All right, Cam. Well, we're in great golf weather. I mean, finally it's here. I feel good about those fairways over the next few weeks are going to start to get that little crisp brown tinge. We should get some firm and fast conditions. I say we get out there together and enjoy the walk.